Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Guys, welcome. This is a very special episode. I'm letting you into a very special part of my life. My former boss, mentor, and good friend, the incredible, inimitable Jane Larkworthy, beauty director extraordinaire, is in the house.
She is.
She's incredible. I cannot wait to introduce you to her.
But first, we're going to talk beauty, hair accessories. They're a thing for grown-ups now, and they were at the Golden Globes, so we got to discuss that. Then, Nordstrom is going natural. Is it Nordstrom's or Nordstrom? I never know.
Nordstrom, singular.
Okay, sorry.
Nordstrom's.
Nordstrom's. And lastly, nipple news. Lots of new nipple news. You're going to have to stay tuned to find out what we're talking about. So, Jess, do you know what I noticed last weekend at the Golden Globes? There was a hair accessory moment. Janelle Monáe had like little pearls, barrettes, or I don't know what they were, sewn into her updo. And I was like, hair accessories. Could I pull that off?
Yeah.
I've been contemplating this all week. What are your thoughts on hair accessories for like an over, I don't know, 15-year-old?
Over 15? I thought you were going to say like maybe over 22.
Oh, there's a cutoff for you?
Well, no, I mean, there's no cutoff, but I mean, like, an 18-year-old could certainly wear hair accessories. You really think they're for children? Like you know, teens and tweens and younger?
No, because I have hair accessories, but every time I put them in my hair, I just feel like, oh, am I pulling this off right? Like, I got to address the rest of the outfit so it's not too young.
I think that's actually a really good tip. I do think, like, I think a tortoiseshell clip you can never, you know, fail with.
Do
or
tell.
A nice, like, I have an elastic band that has, like, a solid gold bar attached to it. Like, as long as you keep the shape simple and the palette really subdued, you can't go wrong. I do think things can get a little funny when you have like little like bells and whistles and doilies going on. It's a little...
Oh, like when you were little? My mom used to make me barrettes where we had ribbon and we would weave it in and out and then they would hang down with little beads on the end.
Your mom was skilled.
Yeah.
I saw a couple actually that I liked. There's a salon in New York called Salon, I'm going to butcher this name, but like Ruggieri. Well, I'll put a link on the site, and there are like cool beetles and stuff. So that's a little quirky, like bugs.
A beetle? Like a bug
yeah.
Hair barrette.
Like a pin. And like you stick it in your
this
hair.
This is throwing off your rule from earlier.
I know. I know. And that's where I'm saying, like, I think that's a little bit more advanced.
Mm.
But I think if you keep the outfit simple, but I'm going to kind of blow your mind right now.
Okay.
In the early 2000s.
Okay.
I was very into, like, Jennifer Bear headbands. Do you remember that designer?
Absolutely.
She did really beautiful, like, lacy headbands and, you know,
she's still around. I have a turban of hers.
Well, so beautiful segue. My friend at the same time was, she saw I was doing like all these like, you know, turban-y things. And she at the same time was just like by coincidence making tons of turbans on her own and selling them at the store Zoe. I have like a ton of them. I'm bringing them back for spring. Here they are, Jen.
Oh my God, you have a turban.
I've got three.
Wait, okay. See, this is the thing. I've never worn the turban outside of like work or the, because I don't know what to do with it. What does one do? Does one keep
the turban on, guys? Okay. I'm putting the turban on. It's just a silky turban.
That's not a turban. That's like a big headband.
It's like it's a headband, but you wear it turban style. It's a very 90s Prada, early aughts. She sold them. Mel C, you got to keep making them, girl. She stopped. She made
Mel C from the Spice Girls?
No, her name was Melanie Cohen, but now it's Melanie Hawks.
Okay. Oh, my God, that looks amazing.
They're gorgeous, and they were silky, and she stopped making them. And you just tuck your hair in the back, and it is a look. You could be wearing JCPenney.
You think I could pull that off?
Yes.
With my brows.
Oh, the stronger the brow, the better. Very Frida Kahlo. I think it's all about a turban.
Or you like look so cool.
Maybe a black goody stretch headband. Guido Palo always
uses baby steps.
Those.
Baby steps.
Yeah, start with simple, a goody headband, a little turban, and then maybe work up to the
Beatles. Let's all do this together. Good homework, people. Homework.
Mm-hmm. Guess what's happening at Nordy's?
Is that what you call Nordstrom?
Yeah, Nordy's.
Well, I'm over here calling it Nordstrom's, so it shows you how much I
Nordstrom,
know.
Poor Nordstrom. Nordstrom is opening a natural beauty outpost in 46 of their brick-and-mortar stores.
That's a lot of stores.
They are committed to this
natural
this movement.
This isn't an experiment. So what's this outpost going to be?
So I looked into it and, you know, to be fair, I didn't have a heart-to-heart with their beauty buyer, but it seems like it's just things that are sort of naturally inclined, things that don't have parabens, sulfates, or phthalates.
That's their only three no-no ingredients.
From my research.
Yes.
It didn't seem to have, like, a hard and fast, like, edict about what natural means to them. And that's a little bit of my kind of confusion about the thing. I don't know if they have separate, you know, like staffers who are natural experts or anything.
I'm not confused then. They're not going the Whole Foods route with hard and fast rules. They're not doing Credo Beauty where there's a whole list. They're doing the like, let's get a piece of the pie marketing version of natural so that like if there's a cool brand, but you know, they use propylene glycol, it's okay because it's green, they might let it in. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not a natural expert. I'm not a chemist, but it seems to be like they must have customers coming in. This is my suspicion that are like, I want something natural. Give me something natural. And they are doing their job as marketers and, you know, retailers and saying, like, let's address that customer. I don't think that they have the strictest criteria, and I don't have a problem with that. But I also, this just kind of makes me, it brings up, like, my personal bugaboo, which, you know very well, like, how I feel. Natural doesn't really mean anything in a broad term when it comes to, like, what's on the shelves.
Right. But I also think that's a more luxe retailer than, say, a Macy's or a Walmart. And we've been seeing such a big rise in the luxe natural. Like, maybe Tata Harper started it, who knows, whatever. But now there's so many more high-end brands. And if they're a high-end retailer, that's probably their thinking more so than, like, we're going to be the super green, play by the rules. It's probably just, like, I mean, think about the people that buy natural. They usually are a more luxe-inclined customer, in my opinion. Lately.
I don't know.
You don't think?
I don't know. I think it started from, that'd be interesting to think about. I don't know the answer, but I think maybe it started from people who were like the co-op shoppers who.
True. Those are the people who are doing really it for those reasons. And then the luxe customer might be doing it because it's trendy or because, you know, she likes the packaging or it's gotten chic enough or it delivers enough results.
Yeah.
But yeah, they'd be missing out if they weren't. addressing exactly. that. Are they bringing on, do you know any new brands? Is that part of it too? Because if so, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, I feel like Nordstrom is always expanding their market, but the brands that they are carrying that are in this natural space, and this is by no means a diss to these brands. It's just that I don't look at them as purest natural brands. Alterna, Bare Minerals, Yves Lam, Butter London, but then you also have a brand like RMS and Tata Harper, which to me, those, they feel like really stringent.
Yes.
You know, from what I know.
Wait, I read somewhere recently about the green to yellow spectrum. I forget what it was about, but like some are on the more green spectrum, like the RMS, see episode one, mm-hmm. Rosemary Swift yeah. beauty. And some of them might be just naturally inclined, like an Alterna hair care or Bare Minerals because, you know, they don't have synthetic pigment. But I'll be interested to see if it does well.
Also, I would love to know, you know, Nordstrom is so known for their customer service. I would love to know if they're salespeople are really being educated on this topic.
Ooh, we're gonna do secret shopper.
Yeah, we should do a little
secret shopper. Sorry, guys.
We're going to Jersey.
Girl, you know what it is. Rack City, bitch.
Jess, I got a press release last week that just like stopped me in my tracks, as you know, because I forwarded to you. Apparently, nipple reduction surgery is on the rise. Not just nipple reduction, areola reduction surgery.
Wait a second. What's the difference between nipples and areolas?
Nipple is the protruding part that like milk comes out of that looks like a bottle.
Oh, okay.
I hope you know what an areola is.
Yeah.
Okay, so a bunch of surgeons have been saying, oh, if you wanted to write an article about this. And I was like, why would I want to write an article about this? Because apparently there's a 30% rise in women requesting smaller nipple size. Not a published study, by the way, just from one plastic surgery group.
Yeah.
But even still, in 1 year, 30% more women wanting smaller nipples. Your face is hilarious right now. What are you
First
thinking?
First of all, like, I don't know why this kind of thing. I think it's the idea of nipple surgery. It's just kind of a visceral reaction, like makes me like uncomfortable, like someone talking about like, yeah. Anyway, it's weird that I'm having this reaction because I've had it done.
Just nipple root?
No. Here's my suspicion. I think that there are a lot more reductions that are happening. And also people are going for smaller breast implants than there used to be. So lo and behold, even if let's say you had smaller breasts but larger nipples,
mm-hmm.
any decent plastic surgeon who has like, you know, an eye for aesthetics is going to make your nipples proportionate to like your new C cups or small D cups or whatever. So when you have a reduction, they will make your nipples proportionate to your new smaller boobs. If you get a C, you know, you're going to get nipples that quote unquote belong on a C. So I think that they're kind of being crafty in like, oh, look, it's a new story. I think it's a little bit of spin.
I have numbers to back you up, though.
Okay, keep going.
Two things. One, yes, by and large, smaller breasts are more trendy right now. And this group actually did a study on what percentage of your breast the nipple should take up, like what is the most attractive. So apparently, if your nipple occupies 25 to 30% of the breast area, mm-hmm. that is the most attractive. So that is what you were saying. I think that's true too.
Yeah.
But this is about even if you don't get a breast reduction or for that matter, a breast enlargement, people are coming in just being like, I like the size and shape of my breast, but I just want smaller areola or less protruding nipples.
Do we think
back to the lead that we buried about 5 minutes ago? You had nipple reduction surgery?
No, I did not have nipple, like a la carte nipple reduction surgery. I hesitated whether or not I would talk about this, but I feel like I wrote about it for Cosmo.
So people know.
And Cosmo has a circulation of like 8 billion, so why not tell, you know, multiple thousands? Yes, I did. I had breast reduction surgery. And when you have that surgery, and we can talk about this. I'd actually really like to talk about this at a different time because
a non-nipple focused time.
And I promise you guys I will in case anyone is interested. But they make your nipples proportionate to your breast size. So if you have larger boobs, there's a good chance you might have larger nips.
And areolas.
And areolas. So my doctor, who's amazing, anyone in the New Jersey area, Dr. Michael Pecoraro, like, what's up? He made everything aesthetically pleasing.
So it's all proportionate. Those numbers I was talking about, how it's a percentage But so what do you... better than anyone, what's your take on this whole, like, nipple reduction surgery?
I get it. Like, I mean, I was never like, doc, please fix my nips. Like, it was the whole thing I was upset with. But it was, I wrote about this for Cosmo, as I said, and I got really kind of heart-wrenching feedback from a lot of people. But an email that I got from somebody was from somebody who actually went to their, like, brother or like, friend. No, I think it was, like, their brother went to my surgeon in New Jersey. And they said how they got like a male procedure for like a male breast reduction.
Yes.
I read up about it, and the person,
gynoplasty,
like gynomastic. Yeah. I'm not even gonna say it, but I think you guys know what I mean. And I did a lot of reading about that after, because it was such, like, the letter really upset me so much, because she was saying how he was bullied and teased to like no end, and how basically Dr. Pecoraro changed his life for the better. And I was researching it, and I found all these Reddit threads, all of these blogs about how men are, like, young, especially young guys, are teased about, like, big nipples and stuff.
So I can't be such a jerk that I was being, to be like, oh, nipple reduction is another thing you don't really need. But for some people, men especially,
because, like, they're, like, think about, like, if you're 12 years old at the swim club, changing in gym.
Nipples. Yeah.
Yeah, like, guys get tormented. So I think that, you know, girls, yeah, you get made fun of, or you're self-conscious if you're making out with guys and you're kind of coming of age. It's hopefully with someone that wants to at least see your boobs. But guys get really, you know, taken through the ringer.
Okay, but I don't want a press release about it telling me that it's like a trend to get smaller nipples.
I think we need to perpetuate something that we shouldn't be perpetuating.
Dig into this topic a little on another on another episode.
But I do think if you're not comfortable with your nipples, if it's really upsetting you, I'm not mad at somebody who wants to, like, investigate that.
Agree.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Writer, editor, beauty legend Jane Lockworthy. She's had an illustrious career, having been the beauty director at magazines like Jane and W, and she's known for her wit, wardrobe, and refreshing candor. Jane, thank you for joining us on Fat Mascara.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome.
I'm so happy to be here.
Let's dish.
Yeah. What you're known for in the business is your voice and your style of writing. It's very, it's one of the few editors, I think, that it's, you can tell it what it is even without looking at your byline.
Thank you.
How would you describe it?
Self-deprecating. No bullshit, if we can say bullshit. Thank you. No bullshit. And kind of, I guess it goes back, you know, humor, obviously, but also, like, we all just want this to work, and we want to see how it works, and we want to get excited about something. And I credit Jane Pratt, because when I joined Jane Magazine, prior to that, I was a Glamour Mademoiselle, and the magazines had a voice, but the editors themselves, few and far between, did. I certainly didn't, and I never had a byline, really, when I was there. And at Jane, everyone had a byline, and everyone had their own voice. So it was, you know, 0 to 100 from day one when I got that job there. And having an editor helped. I had Suzanne Colon, who you know, who helped hone my voice, who made me funnier than I thought I could be. When you're edited, it's a great luxury to have an editor who knows your voice, but who you can also say, I would never say that. Mm-hmm. And, you know...
You guys, I have to say, this is fascinating to watch you two, because in case we didn't make it clear, Jane used to be Jess's boss at W Magazine. And this is like, I'm loving every minute of this. I'm like a fly on the wall for your careers.
Jane was my first boss.
We actually go back further, because Jess was an intern at Jane.
Yeah.
And I didn't know her. And all I saw was this, like, smiley, wide-eyed, like, hi, Jane. And I was like, oh my God, who is this girl? Like, I didn't know the depth that was there. I'll admit that. It was this really
She's
sweet
more than
girl.
A pretty face.
But you know what I mean? Like, you know, there is the intern who might think she's pretty great. And then there's the intern who was just, you know, nose to the grindstone. And Jessica was a hard worker, but she was also just wide-eyed and like, hi. And then Carrie Diamond, I think, hired you or worked with you.
Yeah.
And she basically... like, told me how great you were. Because you never worked with me at Jane, so I had no idea.
No, I think I, like, shuffled a few products around, probably, like, looking like, hi.
Yeah, I was like, keep her away from like me until I'm out of the office. Wait, what? What'd you say?
Like a little deer.
It was a little doe in the headlights.
I loved being at Jane. Because everyone was kind of a personality. Like you were saying, everyone was had their byline, mm-hmm. and, like, they kind of were their own character, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm.
And there was lots of celebrity. I feel like you guys got to interview everybody, right? You've done so many celebrity interviews over the years.
We did, yeah. I mean, not so much me. Like, I never did the cover stories or anything, but like...
But even if there was, like, a perfume launch with, like, a J-Lo or whoever. You even just posted cassette tapes of your celebrity interviews.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So who were, like... What are some of your most memorable? Name one, like, a celebrity where you're like, that was... can't be topped.
Can I start with the bad one?
Absolutely. That's kind of what I was wishing you'd say instead.
I'm actually doing a moth kind of thing next week, and it's called Inkless. It's up. We have a house in the Berkshires, as you guys know, and there's this coffee house that's doing. They call it Inkless, and the theme is mistakes. And I'm like, okay, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, many of which I can't talk about. But I think so. All right, let me backtrack. So I get to W, and I'm really insecure, paranoid, like, you know, this was just like W, like, am I ready?
But the funny thing is that W is literally just across the floor, and it was like a newsroom, so you could
miles
see your
away.
Desk
like right next door yet miles away.
You could see your desk from your new desk, your old desk from your new desk,
right? And actually, and when I got the job at Jane, I had to still when I got the job at W, I still had to do Jane. So I was like, I lost about 15 pounds because I would just run back and forth from doing things at Jane, and then Patrick McCarthy needed me. I had to go back to W, and then back to Jane. But so I'm in my first ideas meeting with Patrick, and he's not loving what I'm pitching. Because I don't, you know, it's my first day, and I'm too nervous. And suddenly, apropos of nothing, he's like, you know who I'd love to see a story on? What's her name from The Sopranos? Edie Falco from The Sopranos. And I'm like... all right, that's not really who I was thinking.
I'm your beauty editor.
As a W person. Yeah. But he had a legit point, because he basically meant like the hair and the makeup and the nails.
The character.
Yes.
Okay.
So sorry, it wasn't Edie Falco, it was Carmela Soprano.
Got it. Okay.
So I'm like, all right, you know, so get to the people at HBO, prepare, you know, to set up the interview. Did I watch one episode? I'm like, it's about the mafia. Bada bing, bada boom.
What's there to know?
I saw Married to the Mob.
Yeah.
I saw Bugsy. And I think in retrospect, I was so afraid that instead of just like, you know, hunkering down and watching every episode and getting every prepared, I was just like, I can do it, I can do it. Just, you know, yeah, just ask your dad. And it went as well as you would think it went.
Uh-oh.
And, I mean, she wasn't horrible to me, but she's a smart woman. I think she could see right through me. So
that was memorable.
That was memorable. That was the first one. Can I include Serge Normand? I mean,
yeah, the hairstylist. Yeah,
okay, sure. So he's a beauty celebrity, and he certainly works with all the celebrities. He's with Sarah Jessica Parker. They're joined at the hip. But when he opened his new salon, he and his PR gave W the exclusive. So I spent so much time with him, and I got 2 pages out of it, maybe 3, which was, you know, kind of unheard of for
a
W feature. And he's just such a sweet, sensitive soul. And I'd be transcribing the interviews, and I worked 7 days a week. I just like was so into it, and I'd be transcribing, and I'd be crying my eyes out because he really just put himself out there for me about his vulnerable childhood and growing up gay and didn't know who he was. And it was just, you mm-hmm. know, and the piece came out well, and I was pretty proud of that. Deneuve, I just remember she smoked a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, have to ask you, what quality, just like one word, would helped you succeed most in your career?
Inquisitive.
Good.
And asking the questions, but not asking too many questions. Like, I remember...
Okay, I'll just get rid of one of these.
Sorry. I remember when I worked for Felicia Malevich, and I wanted to impress... It's all about me wanting to impress people, isn't it? Sorry. And I...
Do you want to lie down?
We were meeting with... Exactly. We were meeting with some client, and I asked a million questions because I thought, like, that's what you do. That's what the good reporter does. And after they left, she's like, Jane, please... So many questions, I thought you'd never stop. And she was right. Like, you got to edit yourself. Just like as a writer, you edit yourself, you can edit the questions too. Because I think I just wanted to hear my own voice. And I wanted to impress the boss, and I wanted to be like, so what is the main ingredient? Da, da, da. No, just ask what you want to know. Ask what you need to know. Ask what your reader wants to know. And the rest... You know.
Okay, well then I'll ask what I want to know. You've had a big career in print journalism, and you know the digital beauty space is growing so much. What do you think of the beauty websites now, and what are some of your favorites, and what do you think they do well and don't do well compared to print?
I think the voices are good in them. I don't relate to all of them because some of them are geared toward a younger audience, mm-hmm. Which I respect, but. I feel like the over 40 audience could use a little more attention in that category. Maybe. This whole influencer thing I'm finding very interesting because...
Yes, tell.
Did you read the article in Women's Wear Daily?
The influencer will
yes.
see you now?
Yeah. Was that what it was called?
Yeah,
it was
something like that.
3-4 months ago. Mm-hmm. And it was basically saying that brands are giving their money to influencers. Mm-hmm. And influencers are transparently saying I'm being paid for this post, and how the consumer is fine with that and prefers that versus print that could be connected to advertising. And I just dropped the paper on the subway.
It was depressing,
but it was also like, is this the world we live in now? And are my journalism rule book of ethics that I was raised on, does that need to be abridged? Need to be updated?
Yeah.
And I go back and forth on how I feel about it.
What excites you about the beauty industry today? The brands, the people, what's going on with all the new companies coming out?
I love the fact that organic brands are actually doing something, that organic products are doing something, and how not organic doesn't mean it's going to smell like patchouli and come in some... you know, burlap bag and...
I mean, I've seen you in some things that look like a burlap bag, Jane.
That is true. I
you are happy at heart.
I rock a burlap bag. I do. But, yeah.
But the natural is...
The natural is being taken very seriously, and it's effective.
Yeah.
And I remember the time when it was like, you know, made by women whose names were like Star or whatever. And, you know, they lived in Telluride. Oh, I think I'm thinking of Astara.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
Wasn't her name Star?
All those masks in different colors.
All the masks in different colors. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Tony and Tina era.
Oh, Tony and Tina.
Well, they're still around.
I still follow them on Instagram.
They're doing something now, or she's doing something now. We're playing email tag.
Ooh.
But my point is, it's weird because for my skin, I try really hard to use only organic products on it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'll grab me a Bella Chic Recherche and I'll
burn that off.
Probably not.
That P50 lotion is like an acid dip for me personally.
But it's genius.
So you're not just into beauty. You're also a foodie.
Anyone can call themselves a foodie.
Oh, ooh,
just a little,
burn.
Tip for you there.
Okay.
Well, one of the first things I wrote, I think I forget who was interviewing me for it, but like, if you put your apron on a certain way, you fold it down and you wrap it around twice, and if you instead of a pot holder, you like take a dish towel and fold it and take your hot pan out that way, you impress people. If you crush garlic with your fist, people are like, oh, she's a foodie. Like, that's why it's called the fraudulent chef.
Wait, what is called the fraudulent chef?
That was not part of the question, sorry. So I have a food blog called the fraudulent chef. At last count, I have 10 loyal followers.
Stop it.
So,
the fraudulent chef's very buzzy right now.
Well, in this room, maybe.
It's two of them are right here.
It is struggling to get, like, my dog, which is my higher standard, that's her handle, has so many more followers on Instagram than the fraudulent chef does. But I also think that I haven't figured out WordPress the right way to, so people can comment and people can join. Like, if you guys can give me a primer on WordPress, I'd really appreciate it. But anyway, so I started this food blog because I'm surrounded by foodies.
Yeah, I feel like you've always had a lot of foodie friends, and then you became one of them.
Well, almost every single one of my best friends either owns a restaurant, writes at a food magazine, or is a chef. So I never was really into creating food. But it's one of those things where, like, the way you get into any hobby, one person turns you on to something that he or she made, and then you're like, I could make that.
I feel like it started, correct me if I'm wrong, I went to your house once and you like put out these chickpeas that were like all razzle dazzled, and I was like,
that was Jamie Rosen's recipe.
Oh my God. And I was like, wait a second.
Okay, that's the other
Jane cooks? And you were like, oh, they're easy.
They were easy.
And then it just went like crazy from there.
I think what I like to think of fraudulent chef is you get the self-deprecating humor in again, right? Uh-huh. And then you get the cooking, but then you also get a little of the lifestyle in.
It's an analogy to beauty, though. As you're talking about it, I'm like, there's so many things it has in common. Like, you can make it your own. There's all different new knowledge and vocabulary to learn.
And you experiment. And if you fail,
and it's about ingredients.
It's like, absolutely. You could just wash it off. You could just start again.
Right.
Well, since you have such good tips about food and many other things, this leads us into a little game we wanted to play with you. Actually, it's not really a game. It's like a speed round of interviewing.
Okay.
It's what Jane says about.
Jane says.
Dun, 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 dun.
I can totally see you two in the office back in the day. Anyway, we're going to go through a bunch of questions with you. Give us like what first comes to mind.
All right.
It's just like word association. Okay. Fast, fast, fast.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Chickpeas.
It'll be good.
Okay. Horseradish.
Okay. What's the weirdest beauty event you ever attended?
Oh, it was, can I say who the brand was? Yeah.
If you want to.
It was for Clarins, and it was like a love ceremony, and it was down in this neighborhood, and it was celebrating mothers. It was a fragrance launch, I think, and a mother and daughter talked about expressed their love for each other. It was like being at a wedding, and we all were looking at each other like,
awkward.
What is going on? It was at least 8 years ago, I'd say.
Oh, that sounds...
I'm so glad I thought of that one.
Oh, it got the pickles. What's a beauty treatment you would never get again? Never.
Waxing.
Waxing what?
The Brazilian wax.
Okay.
And like you, I have lasered everything. And when I was listening to your podcast, like, laser is the answer to everything.
Well, that answers our next question. Oh. What's the Ruby beauty treatment you couldn't live without?
Laser.
Wow.
Like, it took a while. It was a dedication of almost like a year, I think.
Okay, I can't wait to ask this one. Biggest grammar or writing pet peeve of writers who you've edited? You were such a grammar Nazi. Oh. I loved it.
The I versus me. And people do it all the time. Really smart people on the radio will say they gave it to her and I. And I'm like, or she and I. Put it singular. Put it singular and you know what it is. Just between you and I want to punch you in the face. But what's frightening me, and this goes back to our whole conversation before about social media and what the norm is. One of my biggest fears is that that will become correct.
Oh, they don't care.
But that will become correct according to, like, Roger, not, that's a fair example, but whatever the, you know, authority of correct grammar will one day say it should be between you and I. And, oh, my God. Mm. Yeah.
Best way to get out of attending an event.
Ooh. I am so busy. I'm on deadline. I'm sorry, I can't.
Ooh, like that. Okay.
True. I'm still, or I'll be like, and this will be true, I'm still at the office. Like, hi, I know the event's almost over. I'm still at the office, and I have a good couple hours left.
Well, that's usually the truth, you know? That's usually the truth.
It's usually the truth.
No.
The truth. This is going to be hard for you. One favorite perfume.
Oh, okay, I got it. It's called A City on Fire, and it's by this brand called Imaginary Authors. And it's based in either Seattle or Portland. I think the guy's name is Josh Meyer. And you both, I think, know that I just basically want to smell like a fireplace.
And is that what my thing?
It smells like a fireplace, but there's a little bit of tobacco in it too. And my husband just the other day said he loves it, which is great. And he said, there's a little cigarette in there. And I thought, because a million years ago, I used to smoke.
Yeah.
And I cannot stand the smell of cigarette smoke, so I'm a little curious about that. Like, if you light up a cigarette a block away, I'll yell at you and then walk away. Like, it's
but tobacco without lighting tobacco, it up, right? Like,
but
raisiny,
the fact that,
and
but
good.
The fact that Bertrand said it smells, there's a little cigarette there. So I was like, well,
but no. That's exciting.
Yeah,
sounds good. Best smelling person in the beauty industry.
I probably have to say Sarah Brown.
Ooh, what does she wear?
She wears Lee's Mediterranean by Frederick Malle. And every time I smell it, it's like, oh, right. Okay, that's yours. It's not mine.
And Sarah Brown was the beauty director of Vogue until about last year.
Still a beauty writer.
Yep. Okay. Yes. Who is your biggest crush in the beauty industry? You have a death side with them. You get all excited.
Maybe Fabrice Pinel? Maybe Ben Gorham? Fabrice is the head of Le Labo. Were you going to say Ben Gorham?
Well, everybody.
Everyone's
just Ben
Gorham.
Obsessed with him.
Loves Ben.
Fabrice is the head of. I'm sorry.
Le Labo.
Oh, Le Labo.
But I don't flirt with him. He's also like a brother. I think
it didn't have to be a love crush. It could just be a crush. There you go.
Either Fabrice or Donald Robinson.
I mean, they made the. And you were the first to. Can I also say this in case people don't know? This woman started that whole damn Le Labo Santal thing that took over the entire city.
Thank you.
I smelled it on Jane first. And they made those candles for your wedding.
Yes, they did. And now I can't wear it.
Because everybody wears it.
Because everyone wears it.
Doesn't it drive you crazy?
It drives me crazy because I judge.
So people don't go by.
I judge who can wear it and who can't. And when we started, it was this little club. Like, my friend Becca wore it. And who else wore it? I can't remember. But, you know, it was we had it under control. and then everyone started wearing it. They were so happy to be in the club. And I was like, have you, have you applied for a job in our club? Have you written a letter of request that you can wear in the Le Labo?
My barista does not need to be in the Le Labo.
Well,
right,
that's
now.
The thing about fragrance, though, because, like, it starts as this secret little thing and then it explodes. And it's such a good scent that it only makes sense that it explodes. But then you kind of move on. Like, I have said to Fabrice, you need to make me a new thing that is smoky, like fireplace smoky. And he's like, oh, it's harder than I thought. You like my French accent there?
Yeah.
Ooh. he doesn't smoke. but yeah, you know, that's kind of the democracy of fragrance.
Yeah. Okay, most prized possession?
Aside from my dog? Aside from my dog.
Sure.
Wow, that's a good one. Probably our house in the Berks.
Got it.
We go there every weekend and it just keeps me sane.
What's the coziest thing you own?
The sweater I'm wearing right now.
It's very cozy.
A really good story. Can I tell you the story behind it?
Tell us the story.
Okay. This is from The Row.
And,
yep, exactly. Bow down. Back in the fall, when Grace Coddington came out with her fragrance, I got an interview with her. And I was so nervous because the few times that I had seen her in passing or introduced myself to her, even like when she was there with Didi Amelie or something, I got a very cold stare back from her. Like, I remember one time at some Louis Licari event, I was talking to Didi. She came over and I said, "Hi, Grace, I'm Jane Lurker." And I just got handshaking and an icy cold stare to the point that I walked away like, whoa, like, what was that? It was laughable. But I think it's just her way. Yeah. Because, so I have this interview. I'll get to the happy ending in a minute. I have this interview and I'm very nervous. So I was at Bergdorf for some event or something, and I'm like, what can I wear? What can I wear? So I went to the Row and bought this sweater, which was, let's just say it was over $1,000. And I go do the interview, and she's great. And she's accommodating. And I tell her I didn't get the perfume bottle yet, and she's furious about that. Like, she was great. It was a great interview. So the next day, I return the sweater because
it was over $1,000.
I don't want to spend. Yeah, it was over $1,000. And the tag was still on the whole time. So I return it. So a couple weeks ago, a friend of mine's wife is one of the designers at the Row. So I got invited to the sample sale. And there it was.
There was the sweater.
And now
that
it's
made
mine.
Grace Coddington like you.
That was the only reason. The only reason. And I've worn the sweater just about every day over holiday break.
Such
to the point that I said to my husband, I'm like, "Honey, I'm wearing it again. Like, it might smell, but I can't take it off. It's just so
you're never gonna have to comfy. Like take a sweater shaver to it.
I just took one to it. Does it look like I need to do more? Right?
It might pills. Need a little bit more soon.
It pills more.
Even
than
the Row sweaters pill.
The Row sweaters pill.
Damn it! But it's like a lucky sweater. It's really cozy looking.
Okay, we're in cozy mode. So what movie are we watching? What's your favorite movie?
Broadcast News.
Which you gifted me.
My God, which I gifted really Jess.
Yeah, Jane gave it to me as a gift. She said everyone needs to have it when I was a young.
I recently had a sad, sad day, and I put it on TV, and I was just like, yes. And I can recite all the lines from it. I love that movie.
Best hostess gift, since people come to your house and give you little gifts. What do you like?
Or what do you like to give?
Yeah.
We usually bring a bottle of wine. There's this brand called Meiomi, which is a great red, and it's very affordable. It's not spelled like Naomi. I think it's M-E-I-O-M-I. I'll check that and let you know because you're both writing it down.
We are. We're going to put it on the blog. Okay, what's the chicest nail color?
Don't look at mine now. My nails are about as tidy as my gray hair. I always love a grayish.
What's the ultimate grayish? Actually, isn't there one that's called grayish from Chanel even, I think?
No, I think it was called Mystère or something, wasn't it? The Chanel.
I'm not sure what it's called. By Jane Larkworthy.
Essie has some great ones because Essie has everything from
Chinchilla.
Exactly. Yes,
that's a good one.
Who's your style icon?
I'd say Melina Joseph.
Who's that?
She's at T Magazine. She's one of the fashion editors. She wears Comme des Garçons like no one can. She wears J.W. Anderson perfectly. And she's like really naturally pretty and like wears these really cool clothes, but she's also the nicest person. I think that has to do with being a good style mm-hmm. icon. There we go again about the whole nice thing. And she's not like 6 feet tall and model thin. She just wears these clothes so well. There are certain people in life who look like they never spill anything on their clothes.
Yes.
They look like everything is curated in a cedar closet and everything's labeled.
They wear ecru.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I can't pull off that color.
Do you think people say this about me?
No. Okay, we're coming to the end here, but we haven't even talked beauty products yet. So you have to tell us your favorites. You've done this for a while. What's in your bag? Do you even have your bag with you?
It's behind you.
Okay, number one.
Okay, oh.
Burt's Bees lip balm.
An essential.
The original. I probably have at least 200 of these scattered throughout my life. You weren't expecting that.
What is that?
Body, Mind, Sport?
No, Body Mint.
Oh, Body Mint Sport.
Body, Mind, and Sport. It's called Body Mint, and it's chlorophyll tablets.
Oh.
And
what do those do?
I was doing a story for W's website about going off deodorant. And so I stopped using the aluminum stuff, and then I would try all these natural ones, but none of them worked for me. And one of the editors there was like, oh, just take chlorophyll. I take chlorophyll twice a day, taking it for 15 years. Da, da, da. And it not only helps curb body odor, curbs foot odor, curbs halitosis. Can you tell?
That's our little pet peeve.
We're always nervous.
And fear.
About.
Like fear. Yeah.
It's a fear.
More like paranoia.
And are people going to tell you or they're not going to tell you? Like, it's this weird thing.
And when people lean away from us,
we're oh my God.
Like, who are they leaning away? Yeah. So if you take body mint sport chlorophyll, your secretions are less odoriferous.
Your secretions are, and speaking of secretions, other secretions are very green.
Oh. Interesting. Okay.
Which is, you know, like, oh, wow, it's funny.
Not a great side effect, but hey.
But who cares?
But you don't smell.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny.
And there are different, there's like a lady one, and there's the regular one, and sport, because I need heavy duty in my
strong enough
in my curbing. Yes, I'm like, if Mitchum were 100% organic, I'd use it.
Okay, what else you got in that bag of tricks?
NARS concealer.
Okay. The new creamy concealer.
Uma Pure Calm Oil.
Ooh, that looks nice.
This Orbe Airbrush Root Touch-Up Spray.
And what's this last little spray bottle?
Okay, there is a hairstylist out of Copenhagen, Kim Mahoney, who does a lot of editorial work too. So when we were in Copenhagen, I went to his salon, and he told me about this line called Less is More, and it's only organic, and the woman who makes it is not really into packaging. Like, she's just really ethical about all the things, all the ingredients. Mm-hmm. And so it's not the most exciting looking package, but it sprayed on your hand. It smells
less is more,
kind of divine.
Chitin spray?
Chitin spray.
It's really just a groomer.
Jane, you've very inspired nice. Me to like go wear oatmeal colored clothes and sit by a fireplace and learn to cook and play with my dog. Also be beautiful and write and make sure grammar is good. What'd you learn, Jess?
I mean, I always learn from Jane. I love you. I love you too.
You're so nice. Thanks. Can
Thanks,
I come back?
Jane. Of course.
Anytime. Okay. Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, guys.
It's time to raise a wand. Raise!
Raise!
I give up. Okay, ready? Here's what I got.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, gone drugstore.
Affordable luxury.
Maybelline, New York. Dream cushion. Fresh face. Liquid foundation on the go. Cushion compact. Have you seen this?
I have.
It just came out. I am not usually a cushion compact fan. Here's why. Two things. One, I think they look chalky when they came over from Korea. Very high on the zinc oxide. All those natural skin ingredients. Everybody looked like an ashy bastard. I'm sorry. So I wasn't onto it.
Ashy Bastard is definitely the name of my solo project, DJ Ashy Bastard. But that aside, keep going. That's the funniest thing I've heard all week.
I feel like it's a character on like
South Park.
I don't know. Okay,
that's the funniest thing.
That's bad cushion compacts. A good cushion compact. I feel like they finally have gotten Americanized. So Maybelline did one that just came out, and it's luminous. It is like a luminizing foundation, but in that sphere, you're still giggling. I'm trying
I'm
to fucking raise a wand here.
I'm going to be going to sleep tonight giggling into my pillow thinking about that.
So my color is warm nude. I don't think you need the silly sponge. It doesn't really work. But I'll dab my fingers on the little the cushion where the luminous foundation formula is, dab it on my face. It's like, it's glowy and fresh, but it has some coverage to it.
Does it give you enough coverage? Because my complaint with these things are you don't get enough coverage.
No, with this cushion compact, I don't think it's actually about the cushion. I think it's about the foundation formula. It's a nice, sheer, luminizing foundation that blends in really well. And so, okay, it's on a little portable thing that I like that doesn't make me look like an ashy bastard. So I am saying dream cushion is a dream.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. It's like, I think it's like $11. It's a good price point. What do you got?
Are you watching the Mariah Carey, like, reality series?
I'm watching the real Mariah Carey as she melts down in real time.
First of all, I saw
No,
that.
But I'm going to lounge. I just want, like, Mariah, I just need to do every interview and everything just, like, lounging.
She's so fantastic.
Okay, why?
I'm obsessed with her makeup artist, Christopher Buckle, who yes. I say is the real star of the reality series.
He's fabulous.
His commentary is hilarious. His makeup is flawless. Everything about him, like,
raise a wand.
Raise a wand to Christopher Buckle. But double wand, he is coming out with a product line that
that's QVC, right?
Yes, it's coming out on QVC, and I got a sneak peek of some of his products, and there's one that's so genius that I'm like, how come I haven't seen this before? It comes in this little duo called, and this is just so him, because, like, he always has, like, little quips. A trick or two. Like, okay. How cute is this? It's a little pack of, it's a dual-ended eyeliner and mascara duo, but it's the eyeliner that really does it for me. I've been really staying away from all kinds, I've been using mostly pencils, like chubby pencils, like a chubby Charlotte Tilbury, like Color Chameleon, or like a little Rock and Cole, but I love this kind of it's a liquid liner, but it's like a pen. Like
felt almost tip?
Like a sharp. Yeah, felt tip. Thank you. But because I'm a total, like, moron when I do it and I don't budget enough time, like, I'm, like, running for work and it's like, oh, they're not even. And, like, and that's the Q-tip and then it's, like, the concealer's off and then I have, like, half an eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know how long it takes to do a cat eye. You need to budget in, like, 45 minutes.
Remember, they're sisters, not twins.
the other end is this felt tip that floods with remover. So all you have to do to
genius.
Get that, like, you know, to even them out, instead of taking, like, you know,
instead of making it bigger and bigger and bigger,
instead of making bigger and bigger and bigger and then taking, like, a credit card and, like, using that as a guideline or, like, getting a Q-tip. Flip over the pen and then you just use this to strike it out and it becomes an eraser.
So it's got liquid eyeliner on one lid. And then a felt tip with a makeup remover
yes.
on the other.
And it's not there to clean up big mistakes. It's there to refine and define your, like, flick or your just your line. It is so smart. I can't believe I haven't seen this from one of the luxury brands before.
Raise a
wand. And we're dying to have Christopher on the podcast at some point because he freaking cracks me up when he talks about Mariah.
We mentioned a lot of products and people and places and brands and things in this episode, so I just want to put it out there. If you want to find out where any of those things are, go to fatmascara.com.
And you can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter and at fatmascara for both of those things. And you can also contact us directly by emailing us at info@fatmascara.com.
So profesh.
So profesh. Thanks for listening, guys.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.